Oh, got a lot of scripture in today's message. If you guys want to jump to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Just want to say my wife's Uncle Jeff is here. He promptly let me know he brought a pillow in case I put him to sleep. So I told him I would tell everybody where he was. You're welcome. All right, everybody in 1 Corinthians? Maybe. All right, we're going to go. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 10 through 13. Paul's writing to, obviously, the church in Corinth. Now I plead with you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing and that there be no divisions among you, but that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. For it has been declared to me concerning you, my brethren, that those of Chloe's household, that there are contentions among you. Now I say this, that each of you says, I am of Paul, or I am of Apollos, or I am of Cephas, or I am of Christ. Is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you? Or were you baptized in the name of Paul? So in today's context, it might sound something like, I am of Joel Osteen, or I am of Joyce Meyer, or I'm of Bill Johnson, or I am of John Crowder. This year, it might sound like I am of Donald Trump, or I am of Joe Biden, or I'm of Bobby Kennedy. I have a strong feeling most of the people in this room are united in who they're probably supporting for president, or at least who they're against. However, we need to be cognizant because we're being influenced to hate our neighbor and divide. If you don't believe me yet, let me ask you a question. Assuming you're a Donald Trump supporter, if I told you that I think Joe Biden is the best president we've ever had, what would your thought be immediately? Or vice versa. Now, I promise it's not a political message, but the word tells us not to be divided, but in the world we're in, it's determined to try to divide us. And it needs called to our attention so we can avoid falling into that trap. This can be applied to anything, though, especially the church. I don't know if you know this, but there are hundreds of different denominations in Christianity. We argue and divide over the silliest things. Like, one, my favorite, is the amount of water used for baptism. Like, the Lord created water, but somehow he's limited by the amount of water that you used. Jumping ahead, 1 Corinthians 3, verses 1 through 4. And I, brethren, could not speak to you as to spiritual people, but as to carnal, as to babes in Christ. I fed you with milk and not with solid food, for until now you were not able to receive it. Even now you are still not able, for you are still carnal. For where there are envy, strife, or divisions among you, are you not carnal and behaving like mere men? For when one says, I am of Paul, and another of, I am of Apollos, are you not carnal? My favorite thing to emphasize is in verse 3, you're behaving like mere men. We are no longer mere men and women, to be bogged down by the ways and institutions of man. But we're called for a greater purpose, his purpose for us. The institutions of men, such as government, both political and church government, seem to do one thing, and that is take a construct that is meant to serve mankind, and then slowly we put all of our faith and our trust in it until it becomes an idol. It becomes our God. We have to be aware of this to keep ourselves out of that. Continuing on, verse 5. Who then is Paul and who is Apollos, but ministers through whom you believed, as the Lord gave to each one? I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then neither he who plants is anything, nor he who waters, but God who gives the increase. Now he who plants and he who waters are one, and each one will receive their own reward according to their own labor. For we are God's fellow workers. You are God's field, and you are God's building. We have to be very careful not to split off into sects and acts, and act as if our clique is really the only one who's really correct. We also can't try to take credit for things that were a team effort and ultimately only worked because of God anyway. How many of you tried to do something and you completely bombed it and it worked out anyway? Happens to me all the time. Every Sunday morning. Matthew 12:25 says, every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation, and every city or house divided against itself will not stand. I want to jump ahead again to 1 Corinthians 12. As for the body is one and has many members, but all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, and have all been made to drink into one Spirit. For in fact the body is not one member, but many. If the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I am not of the body, is it therefore not a part of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where would be the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where would be the smelling? But now God has set the members, each one of them, in their body just as he pleased. And if they were all one member, where would the body be? But now indeed there are many members, yet one body, and the eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. No, much rather, those members of the body which seem to be weaker are necessary, and those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, on these we bestow greater honor, and our unpresentable parts have greater modesty. But our presentable parts have no need. But God composed the body, having given greater honor to that part which lacks it. So all parts of the body have their place and purpose. Not everyone can teach, because then there would be talk, all talk and no action. On the other hand, if there is all action and no teaching, it is directionless and may become dangerous. But God composed the body, having given greater honor to that part which lacks it, so that there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care for one another, and if one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. If one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it. Kind of sounds like the church is like a family. I've heard that before because I am of Tim. Jumping ahead, I want to go to 1 Corinthians 13. Everybody has heard this if you've ever been to a wedding, ever. It's verses 1 through 8. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I have become a sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, but have not love, it profits me nothing. Love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself. It is not puffed up, does not behave crudely, does not seek its own, it's not provoked, thinks no evil, does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth. Bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, and endures all things. Love never fails. So all these things are attributes of love. Another way of looking at it is these are all attributes of God. God is love, 1 John 4:8. And love ultimately is unity. Unity so pure that the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are distinct from each other, yet so united that they are one God. So this brings me back to you. You are a part of the body, and you are called to play a very significant role in it, whether man thinks it's significant or not. Do you know what that calling is? Are you more concerned with who you think you are more than who God says you are? If you're currently in that position, you're in good company. The scripture is full of people who believe something about themselves, ultimately for the Lord to say the opposite. Let me give you some examples. So Moses said he was slow of tongue and couldn't lead God's people, and yet God used him to lead the Israelites out of Egypt. Abraham was renamed to say he had many children, although at the time he was old and had none. Gideon, he was a coward, and the Lord had shown him to be brave. Paul, he was a Pharisee named Saul and had a vision of the Lord and began spreading the gospel as Paul. My favorite, Peter, the Lord changed his name to Peter and declared he would be the rock on which he builds his church. And if you ever have trouble thinking you can't do anything right, Peter is a great example to read. It's not horrible to not know your calling right now, but it's time to seek the Lord and ask him what it is. We can no longer do church as usual. We've lost large portions of the last few generations, and we're seeing the fruit of it right now in our culture. But I do have the optimism and hope that the Lord is starting to move. It's just underneath the surface, it feels like there's this tension. When the dam breaks and the flood of living water spreads across our land, we have to be ready. If you want to get the video ready, Matt. There is he's a comedian turned actor, and he was known for his hedonistic lifestyle, but he faded out of Hollywood and started a YouTube channel in which he does alternative media. Like, he does a lot of investigative journalism. But another part of his channel is seeking inner peace, spiritual peace. And just recently he posted a video where he was letting all of his followers know that he had just been baptized. And if we can play the video.
It's not just me that's experiencing a spiritual awakening across the world. There appears to be a return to religion. Now, I've made my personal opinion clear, and I will elucidate, illuminate, espouse, expound, proselytize on that further in a moment. But I will say that there are a lot of people that are joining other faiths as well. And I personally do not feel that I can do anything other than speak for myself. And obviously, if you were asking me for my personal recommendation, I could only use my personal experience as the basis for a personal recommendation. But across the world, this seems to me like a time where a set of values not derived from the materialist culture are becoming increasingly relevant. Obviously, I've been through a lot of things personally. I know you've been through a lot of things personally too. But for me, I've reached the point where the figure, the personage, the presence of Christ became overwhelming, unavoidable, welcome, necessary. Like, suffering is not fun, is it? You know what it is to suffer, right? You know what it is to lose people. You know what it is to be attacked. You know what it is to be persecuted. You know what it is to sometimes feel the actual presence of evil in your life. Where do you turn to? Where do you turn to in those moments? Well, a lot of people across the world are turning to religion. Why is it that people are turning to faith? Let's have a look. A greater share of young adults say they believe in a higher power or God. About one third of 18 to 25-year-olds say they believe, more than doubt, the existence of a higher power, up from about one quarter in 2021, according to a recent survey of young adults. It's always been assumed that Christianity in particular was in decline. And of course, the arguments about the Crusades, the corruption, the Catholic Church paedophilia scandals, these are all things that people understand. The potential compliance and advocacy of the papacy in the Second World War. There are endless scandals around the institutions that have grown out of Christianity. And having been Christian for 24 hours now, I can unravel and resolve all of those complex questions for you. Obviously, I can't. I can only tell you what has personally drawn me towards the faith over the course of our little conversation now. But it's interesting to me that people en masse, in particular young people, are recognizing that the material world that I sought to find solace and comfort in is no longer serving that function for many young people. That's extraordinary, isn't it? People are waking up. People are realizing it doesn't work. It isn't going to work. When I was a kid, I was thinking, yeah, hedonism, excitement, glory, as well as being sort of scarred with a pretty painful addiction and, I know, an emptiness. But I've heard a lot of Christians say that that is almost a defining attribute, that we need a direct relationship with Christ. And without that relationship, we will feel hollow and empty and bereaved. Young adults, theologians, and church leaders attribute the increase in part to the need for people to believe in something beyond themselves after 3 years of loss. 84% of the world's population identifies with a religious group. That's extraordinary, isn't it? Members of this demographic are generally younger and produce more children than those who have no religious affiliation. So the world is getting more religious, not less.
He shared that's part of the video. The actual video is about 15 minutes long, but he shared that with his 6.8 million followers. And he's not the only one. If you go on to the video and read the comments, it's filled with people who say, I was an atheist all my life, and I found God. I said before, when the dam starts to break and the flood of living water spreads across our land, we have to be ready. Judging by this video, the cracks are starting to appear. So it's time to get ready. Amen.